A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's been looking at window films, the kind you stick on glass without permanently modifying anything. Two things he wants to tackle. One, privacy films that let you see out but stop people seeing in, ideally without turning your windows into sunglasses. Two, heat deflection films that keep rooms from turning into greenhouses when you've got big sun-facing windows. And then the part that actually scares most renters. How do you get these things off cleanly when the lease is up? He's tried the hairdryer method, and it worked, but he's wondering what else is out there.
This is one of those topics where the physics is genuinely elegant. You've got two completely different problems, privacy and heat, and the material solutions are equally different, but they both end up as thin plastic sheets you spray with soapy water. The renter angle makes it interesting, though, because suddenly removal matters as much as performance.
Which flips the usual buying logic on its head. Most people shop by looking at the performance numbers, but if you're in a rental, your first question should be what happens when I have to peel this off 18 months from now.
So let's break down what these films actually are, starting with the two main categories. Privacy films and heat rejection films. They work on completely different principles.
Daniel's first question gets right at the tension. He wants privacy without making the window look like a limousine. Is that actually possible?
It's possible during the day. The one-way mirror effect isn't magic, it's a brightness game. Privacy films work by being more reflective on one side than the other. When the outside is brighter than the inside, which is true during daylight, light bouncing off the exterior surface overwhelms whatever light is coming from inside, so someone looking at the window just sees a reflection of the street. They can't see through to your living room.
It's not that the film is selectively transparent. It's that the reflection is louder than the transmission.
Think of it like standing in a dark room looking out a window at night. You see everything outside perfectly, but someone outside sees nothing but their own reflection. The privacy film just amplifies that natural effect by adding a reflective coating or, in some designs, microscopic louvers, tiny angled slats embedded in the film that physically block light from certain angles.
Then the sun goes down.
You turn on your living room lights, and suddenly the inside is brighter than the outside. The effect reverses completely. Anyone standing outside can see straight in, and all you see from inside is your own reflection staring back at you. It's the number one misconception about privacy films. People install them thinking they've got 24-hour privacy, and then the first night they walk past the window in their pajamas and give the neighbors a show.
That's a painful learning curve. So what do you do at night?
The film handles daytime. Traditional window coverings handle nighttime. There's no film that solves both unless you go to something like a frosted film, which gives you privacy around the clock, but also blocks your view entirely. Daniel specifically said he doesn't want heavy tinting, so the one-way mirror approach is the right call, just with the understanding that it's a daytime solution.
What about the heat side of things? Daniel mentioned rooms with lots of wide-open windows turning into ovens.
This is where the material science gets really interesting. Heat rejection films come in three generations. First generation is dyed films. They're basically tinted plastic that absorb solar energy. They work, sort of, but they get hot themselves and can actually radiate some of that heat into the room. They also fade over time.
You're installing something that's going to look worse every summer.
Second generation is metallic films. They've got a thin layer of metal, usually aluminum, that reflects infrared radiation. Much better performance. The problem is that metal layer acts as a partial Faraday cage. It can block cell signals, GPS, radio. If he's got a smart home setup with motion sensors or IR blasters, metallic film can mess with all of it.
Which in 2026, when half the apartments in any given building have some kind of smart thermostat or sensor network, is not a trivial problem.
And that's why the third generation, ceramic films, has become the standard recommendation. They use nanoscale ceramic particles embedded in the film to reflect infrared while staying transparent to visible light and radio frequencies. no signal interference, no metallic sheen, and they can reject 40 to 50% of solar heat while maintaining 70 to 80% visible light transmission.
You get the heat rejection without the sunglasses. Look, Daniel's trying to avoid.
You get close. I want to be honest about this. No film is truly invisible. Even the best ceramic films with 80% VLT have a slight haze or a very faint tint if you're looking for it. But it's subtle enough that most people won't notice unless you point it out. The trade-off is real, but it's small.
Let's talk about what's actually happening with the heat. When sunlight hits an untreated window, the visible light passes through, but so does the near-infrared. That's where about half of the sun's energy lives. The infrared gets absorbed by your floors, your furniture, your walls, and then re-radiated as heat inside the room. The greenhouse effect in miniature.
The ceramic film is selectively blocking that infrared while letting the visible light through. It's not just tinting the window darker, that's the dyed film approach, and it's crude. Ceramic films are doing spectral selectivity. They're targeting specific wavelengths.
Which is also why they don't get as hot to the touch. A dyed film absorbs the energy and turns into a little radiator pressed against your glass. A ceramic film reflects it back outside.
There's a case study I came across. A south-facing living room with floor-to-ceiling windows in one of those modern apartment buildings from the early 2020s. They applied a ceramic film with 70% VLT and measured the interior glass surface temperature before and after. The drop was 8 to 12 degrees Fahrenheit on the glass itself. That's not the room temperature drop. That's just how much less heat is entering through the glass in the first place.
That's substantial. And it means your air conditioner isn't fighting a losing battle against a wall of sun.
Which is the knock-on effect people don't always think about. Window film isn't just about comfort. It changes your energy consumption. If you're paying for electricity in a rental where the AC is working overtime because of solar gain, $100 of window film might pay for itself in a single summer.
We've got privacy films that work on the brightness differential and heat rejection films that work on spectral selectivity. Daniel also asked about application and removal, and I think this is where most renters get nervous. You're about to stick something to glass that doesn't belong to you.
The anxiety is justified. But the technology of the adhesives has gotten a lot better. Let's start with the application, because doing it right is what makes removal possible later.
The wet method.
The wet method. It's universal for a reason. You spray the window with a slip solution, water with a tiny amount of soap, and you spray the adhesive side of the film too. The soap breaks the surface tension of the water, which lets the film float on the glass instead of grabbing instantly. That gives you time to position it, slide it around, get it exactly where you want it.
The ratio matters.
More than people realize. The ideal is 1 to 2 drops of baby shampoo per 16 ounces of water. Too much soap and the film won't adhere properly, it'll keep sliding around for days and never fully bond. Too little, and the film grabs the instant it touches the glass, and you've got one shot to get it right. Baby shampoo specifically, not dish soap. Dish soap can leave a residue that interferes with adhesion.
Why baby shampoo?
It's pH neutral and doesn't have degreasers or fragrances that can react with the adhesive. It's also what professional installers use. Once the film is positioned, you squeegee from the center outward, pushing the slip solution and any air bubbles to the edges. Then you trim the edges with a razor. And here's a critical detail most DIY guides miss.
Cut it slightly smaller than the glass.
By about an eighth of an inch on each side. If the film goes right to the edge of the glass and touches the window frame or the rubber seal, it'll eventually start peeling at the corners. Temperature changes make the film expand and contract, and if it's butted up against the frame, it has nowhere to go. The tiny gap gives it room to move without catching.
That's the kind of detail that separates a job that looks good for 3 months from one that looks good for 3 years.
It's also what makes removal easier. If the edges aren't peeling, you don't have moisture getting under the film and breaking down the adhesive unevenly. Speaking of which, there's another mistake worth flagging. Double pane windows.
What's the risk?
Thermal stress cracking. If you apply a film that absorbs too much heat to a double pane window, the inner pane can get significantly hotter than the outer pane. The temperature differential creates stress, and if the glass has any imperfections, it can crack. Some manufacturers explicitly warn against using certain films on double pane or tempered glass. If you've got modern insulated windows, you need to check the film specifications. Ceramic films are generally safer because they reflect rather than absorb, but you still need to verify.
You've done your research, you picked the right film, you've applied it carefully with the baby shampoo solution and the 1/8-inch gap. 18 months later, your lease is up, and you need to make the window look like you were never there. Daniel mentioned the hairdryer method. Let's talk about why that works and what else is available.
The hairdryer method works because heat softens the adhesive. Most window film adhesives are pressure-sensitive acrylics that become less viscous when heated. They lose grip. If you apply heat to a corner for 30 to 60 seconds, the adhesive releases enough that you can get a fingernail or a plastic scraper under the edge and start peeling.
The angle matters.
45 degrees. If you pull straight back at 90 degrees, you're fighting the full bond strength of the adhesive and the film is more likely to tear. At a shallow angle, you're peeling it progressively, which concentrates the force along a thin line where the film is separating from the glass. It's the same principle as removing a sticker, slow and shallow wins.
Hairdryer in one hand, peeling with the other, working your way across.
If the film tears, which happens, especially with cheaper films that get brittle over time, you don't panic. You reheat the torn edge and keep going. The adhesive hasn't changed, you just lost your grip point.
What if the hairdryer isn't cutting it? Daniel asked about other approaches.
A steamer is the upgrade path. It delivers more heat and also introduces moisture, which can help break down water-activated adhesives. For large windows, a steamer is faster than a hairdryer. You're covering more area with each pass. The downside is you have to be careful about moisture getting into the window seals, especially on older windows where the seals might already be compromised. If water gets between the panes of a double-pane window, you've got a permanent fog that's much harder to fix than adhesive residue.
Steamer for speed, but with caution around the edges.
Then there's the bag method, which sounds like a life hack, but actually works. You spray the film with soapy water or an ammonia-based solution, then tape a black trash bag over the entire window. Leave it in direct sunlight for a few hours. The black plastic absorbs solar radiation and heat soaks the film evenly across the whole surface. After a few hours, the adhesive is uniformly softened and the film often peels off in a single sheet.
That's clever. You're using the sun as a free, whole window hairdryer.
It's basically solar pasteurization for your window adhesive. The limitation is that it only works on sunny days and on windows that get direct sun. If you're trying to remove film from a north-facing window in winter, the bag method isn't going to do much.
Then there's the residue problem. Even if you get the film off cleanly, some adhesives leave behind a gummy layer.
This is where the distinction between static cling and adhesive films becomes crucial. Static cling films use no adhesive at all. They stick by electrostatic attraction, like those decorative window clings people put up for holidays. Removal is trivial. You just peel them off and there's nothing left behind. The trade-off is durability. Static cling films are more likely to peel at the edges over time, especially in direct sunlight where the film expands and contracts. They're also more prone to bubbling.
For privacy, where you might be okay with replacing it every year or two, static cling is the renter's friend. For heat rejection, where you want something that stays put and performs consistently, you're probably looking at adhesive.
Within adhesive films, there's a quality spectrum. Cheap films use basic acrylic adhesives that turn gummy and yellow with age. Those are the nightmare removal stories where someone spends an afternoon scraping goo off a window with a razor blade, which, by the way, you should never use.
Let's pause on that. No razor blades on glass.
Razor blades leave micro scratches that you won't see immediately, but over time they accumulate and the glass starts looking hazy, especially when sunlight hits it at certain angles. Always use plastic scrapers. They're cheap, they're effective, and they won't damage the glass. If the residue is stubborn, isopropyl alcohol or a dedicated adhesive remover like Goo Gone will dissolve it without hurting the glass.
What about the films that are designed to come off clean? You mentioned water-activated adhesives.
Quality films from reputable manufacturers use adhesives that are designed for clean removal. Some are water-activated. They bond when the slip solution dries, and they can be re-wetted during removal to release. Others use UV-degradable adhesives that break down slowly over time, so after a few years, they've lost some of their grip. Neither of these is the same as the permanent acrylic adhesive you'd find on, say, automotive window tint, which is designed to never come off.
Part of the renter's job is reading the fine print and buying a film that explicitly says removable.
This is practical advice that doesn't show up in product reviews. Take photos of the windows before you apply the film, take photos during installation, and take photos after removal. If your landlord tries to claim you damaged the glass, you've got a timeline showing the windows were fine. Some leases explicitly ban window films because of the thermal stress concern, so you need to check your lease before you buy anything.
There's also the smart home angle you mentioned earlier. If someone's got motion sensors or IR blasters for their entertainment system, metallic films can cause problems.
Ceramic films solve that. They're IR transparent in the wavelengths that remotes and sensors use, while still blocking the near-infrared that carries solar heat. But it's worth testing before you film every window in the apartment. Put the film on one window, then walk around with your phone and check if your signal drops. Some buildings already have poor reception, and even a small additional barrier can push you over the edge.
Let's get specific about products, because Daniel's going to want to know what to actually buy. You mentioned Gila and Ravigu earlier.
Gila makes a well-known static cling privacy film. It's widely available, it's affordable, and because there's no adhesive, removal is literally just peeling it off. The downside is that static cling films don't handle temperature swings as well. In direct summer sun, the film expands, and you might get bubbles or edge peeling. For a bedroom or a bathroom where privacy is the main concern, and you're not dealing with intense direct sunlight, it's a solid choice. Ravigu's heat control film is an adhesive-based ceramic product. It's in that sweet spot. Ceramic layer for infrared rejection, no metal, so no signal interference, and the adhesive is designed for clean removal with heat. It's not the only option in that category, but it's representative of what you should be looking for. Ceramic, high VLT, removable adhesive.
Are we talking about a noticeable temperature difference in a real apartment? Or is this marginal stuff that only shows up in lab tests?
The case study I mentioned, the south-facing living room with the 8 to 12 degree drop on the glass surface, that translates to a real comfort difference. You're not going to turn a 90 degree room into a 70 degree room with window film alone. But you might turn a room that's unbearable by 3 p.m. into one that's merely warm. And if you combine the film with other strategies, closing blinds during the hottest hours, using fans to move air, the cumulative effect is significant.
There's something satisfying about solving a problem with a thin sheet of plastic and some soapy water instead of a multi-$1,000 HVAC upgrade. You can't do anyway because you don't own the place.
That's the renter's mindset in a nutshell. You're looking for the highest impact intervention that leaves no trace. Window film is near the top of that list, right alongside things like smart thermostats you can swap back before you move out.
Which brings us to the practical playbook. Daniel's going to want a clear answer on what to buy and how to handle removal. Let's distill this.
For privacy, go static cling. No adhesive means no removal anxiety, except that you might need to replace it after a year or two and that you'll still need curtains at night. For heat rejection, go ceramic adhesive with at least 70% VLT. The ceramic avoids signal interference. The high VLT keeps the window looking clear, and the adhesive should be designed for clean removal. But verify that on the packaging before you buy.
The removal toolkit?
Hairdryer or steamer. Hairdryer for smaller windows, steamer for big ones, or if you're doing multiple windows. Plastic scraper, not metal. Isopropyl alcohol or Goo Gone for any residue. Microfiber cloths for cleanup. And patience. Removal is not a 5-minute job. That case study I saw, a renter in a newer apartment complex had to remove adhesive film from a 3x5-foot bedroom window for a move-out inspection. Using a steamer and a plastic scraper, it took about 45 minutes for one window, but it came off with zero residue, and the landlord signed off without a problem.
45 minutes for one window is not nothing, but it's also not losing your security deposit.
That's the trade-off calculation. An afternoon of careful removal versus potentially hundreds of dollars in deposit deductions. The math is pretty clear.
What's the one thing you tell someone not to do?
Don't use a razor blade. I know I've said it already, but it's worth repeating because it's so common. People reach for a razor blade scraper because it's what they have in the toolbox, and they don't realize they're micro-scratching the glass until months later when the window catches the light wrong and looks permanently hazy. Plastic scrapers exist for exactly this reason. They cost $3.
Measure your windows before you order anything. Film that's too large is wasteful, and film that's too small means you've got gaps that defeat the purpose.
Measure twice, cut once, but actually, don't cut until the film is on the window. Apply it oversized, then trim in place. It's more precise and you're less likely to end up with a piece that's somehow a quarter inch too short on one side.
The technology is evolving, though. Window films have been around for decades, but we're starting to see the next generation. Electrochromic glass that can switch from clear to frosted with an electric current. That's been a commercial product for a while, but it's expensive and requires wiring.
It's not renter-friendly at all. You're not installing electrochromic glass in an apartment you don't own. But there are companies working on electrochromic films, essentially the same technology in a peel and stick format. Switchable privacy at the press of a button, applied like a window film. The prototypes exist, but they're still expensive, and they need a power source, which means a wire running to an outlet or a battery pack that needs recharging.
For now, the passive film is still the renter's best option, and probably will be for at least another 5 to 10 years. The electrochromic stuff will get cheaper, but the power problem is fundamental. You can't have a completely wireless, battery-free switchable film without some kind of energy harvesting, and that's a harder engineering challenge than the film itself.
There's also the question of whether landlords will ever be okay with tenants applying powered films to windows. A passive film is one thing. It's inert plastic. A film with electrical connections is a different category of modification, and I suspect most leases will treat it differently even once the technology matures.
Which makes the humble static cling and ceramic films we've been talking about relevant for a long time. The fundamentals aren't changing. Understanding the brightness differential for privacy, understanding spectral selectivity for heat, and understanding how to remove something cleanly.
If you've tried something that worked better than the hairdryer method, maybe you discovered a removal technique we didn't cover, or you found a film that outperformed expectations. Daniel would want to hear about it, and honestly, so would I. The collective wisdom of renters figuring this stuff out is usually ahead of the official product documentation.
That's a good place to land. Window film is one of those rare categories where a small, reversible intervention makes a disproportionate difference to how a space feels, both in terms of privacy and temperature. The key is knowing which film solves which problem, and treating the removal process as part of the purchase decision from the start.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1880s, a British naturalist in the Solomon Islands nearly described the first confirmed instance of tool use in cephalopods when he observed a veined octopus carrying coconut shell halves across the seafloor, but he dismissed it as the animal merely redecorating and never published the finding, delaying the scientific recognition of octopus intelligence by over a century.
An octopus interior designer overlooked by history.
The coconut was right there.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for keeping the show running. If you've got a window film removal story or a technique we didn't mention, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back with another one soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.